Time to join the American Family Robinson again in Centerville. Dick Collins, urged on by Windy Bill and young Bob Robinson, has rushed off to Chicago in answer to a mysterious summons which hints that the orphan Dick might be the unsuspecting heir to a baronetcy and a fortune in Ireland. Dick, fearing that he may be playing the part of a sucker, has wrapped his activities in secrecy and sworn his fellow conspirators to silence. Poor Editor Luke was elected to tell Betty that her husband had rushed off for parts unknown without even telling her goodbye. And now we find Betty and her mother discussing this peculiar behavior of a hitherto model husband.
But, Betty, your father says he doesn't know anything more about it than we do. He just suggested to Dick that a couple of days' rest might do him good. And then Dick simply rushed out without saying where he was going or why. I know Luke would tell me if he knew anything more.
It's perfectly ridiculous. There must be some reason for Dick's going off like that. Well, why should Daddy have told him to take time off unless he knew something was up?
Why, he just thought Dick needed a rest. You know, Betty, Dick has been acting very strangely of late. Luke says he's been absent-minded and, well, his work hasn't been up to its usual standard.
I know he's been acting funny. That's why this latest development's got me so upset. Mother, you don't think it's another woman?
Oh, why, of course not. Why, that's silly. Why, well, Dick wouldn't. I mean, he doesn't strike me as being the philandering type. Why, no, it couldn't be that.
I don't know why not. After all, Mother, he's quite attractive. In a homely kind of way. It isn't as though he were a wet smack that a designing female wouldn't give a passing glance to.
Oh, I'm not arguing the point with you, Betty. I just didn't want you to get on any such horrid idea.
I'll bet that's what it is. And I've just got to face it, that's all. I wonder what I ought to do.
Nothing until you find out what it is.
A wife is always the last to know, you know. Shall I fight for him or give him up?
Oh, Betty, don't talk such nonsense. Why, you haven't the slightest reason to think that you'll have to do either. There's no use imagining things and getting yourself all distressed for nothing.
I suppose she's very beautiful. One of those languorous kind of persons with droopy eyelids who sway when they walk. Maybe I ought to confront her and say, let me see. Lola, I'll say. I'm sure her name would be Lola. Lola, I only want his happiness. If you can make him happy, then I'll give him up. Gladly, willingly, and retire with my memories to some little house by the sea. Or possibly the mountains. I don't know, I like them both. But for all the year round,
Betty, stop it. What? Don't go on and on like that. You sound like the end of the second act in a third-rate melodrama.
It isn't third-rate at all. Of course, I haven't polished it up yet. I expect I'll be a lot better when the time comes. The trouble is I'll probably get amused and have to giggle. Dick would look so much like a sheepish schoolboy. Scenes always embarrass him, and if I giggle, the whole effect will be ruined.
Well, I do hope that no daughter of mine would ever resort to such cheap dramatics.
Well, what would you do? Now, what if Daddy fell for a beautiful woman? Would you just take it and say nothing?
The idea, it's preposterous. Well, there's no use speculating about it.
Well,
I wouldn't do such a thing. And I'm sure Dick hasn't. The simple fact of the matter is that Dick has just gone off
and left me. Deserted me is what you mean.
Well,
I prefer to think it was a beautiful woman, if you don't mind.
Well, I didn't mean anything of the sort. He's just gone off for a couple of days on private business, or
maybe with a sick friend.
Or just a vacation of a couple of days. You'll probably get a letter from him tomorrow explaining the whole thing. Just because he was in too much of a hurry to call you up doesn't mean the world has come to an end.
Well, there's more to it than that. I know it. You should have heard Daddy when he called me up to tell me about it, trying to break the news gently. Dick must have acted pretty suspicious to get Daddy all excited about it.
Well, if it is trouble of some sort, you'll hear about it soon enough, and fretting about it before you even know what it is won't get you anywhere.
Well, I'm not fretting. I'm being perfectly calm. In fact, I'm quite indifferent. If Mr. Dick Collins thinks I'm going into a hysterical frenzy over him, he's very much mistaken. If he wishes to go off on his own without consulting me, that suits me fine. Two can play at that game. I might like going dashing off somewhere, too.
You're just talking nonsense. You're not going anywhere. You're going to stay right here and behave yourself until we hear from Dick. And you're going to be sensible about this thing and not upset yourself with a lot of imaginary...
Oh, who's upset? I said I was perfectly calm, didn't I? And I am. Absolutely, utterly calm. I'm not going to carry on like a little sap just because Dick is... Oh, Mother.
Oh, Betty. Here, let me hold you on my back. You can go ahead and cry all you want to.
But I'm too big.
Oh, you're nothing of the kind. You're just a baby who's had her feelings hurt. You don't have to pretend to be flip and hard-boiled with me. There, that's better.
But suppose somebody should come in and see me.
Well, then you can go back to your pose of being a sophisticated woman of the world, and I'll help you. But until then, you just go ahead and cry on your mother's shoulder. That's what it's for.
But it's so awful to think of Dick's being gone. And it's my fault, Mother, I know it is. He just doesn't know how much I love him, or he wouldn't have
and
gone.
And he loves you. You know he does. Nobody could take him away from you.
Oh, I know it isn't that, really. Dick's too fine for that sort of thing. I'm afraid of something more serious than that. I think he went away because he's discouraged. And if that's it, it's my fault.
Discouraged? About what, dear?
Well, Dick's ambitious, Mother. He's a builder. He's not the kind to be content just to drift along and hang on till something turns up. He's got to feel that he's getting somewhere, that he's building on a solid foundation for the future.
But, why, that's no explanation for this, for going away.
Yes, it is. He's not running away from me. He's running away from himself. That's what I think. And I don't blame him. He felt stifled, frustrated. He kept looking into a future that held nothing but uncertainty, and he couldn't do anything about it. He couldn't get his teeth into it and lick it second-handed. His future was something that had got out of his hands and just depended on fate.
Oh, you mean he wasn't happy at the Herald? He felt he was being kept down, that your father was holding him back?
Oh, no, it isn't. It isn't Daddy. Dick knows that Daddy would help him, do anything in his power to help Dick push forward and get somewhere. But he can't go anywhere any further than the Herald itself can go. And the Herald, like the whole country, is just waiting. Waiting, not knowing what's going to happen. Afraid to expand.
Well, I do know this, young lady. I know that you're going too far. You're taking in too much territory when you stand there and tell me that your poor dear husband is so disturbed about this vague uncertainty that he's just upped and left. And furthermore...
But, Mother, can't you see that...
Furthermore, Betty, this business about the Herald and the whole country, as you say, just waiting, waiting, is sheer nonsense. The Herald is not waiting. It's going ahead under a full load of steam, in spite of all the difficulties that beset it. And other American businesses are going ahead, too.
All right, then. We're right where we started. Why did he leave?
I don't know. But I do know that Dick's no fool. He knows this country will come back, and Centerville and the Herald with it. Why, only the other day, Dick showed me a clipping that said the manufacturing industry at its highest peak employed a little less than 9 million persons.
But, Mother, what has this got to do with Dick?
Just this. Dick showed me this story that said industry was already able to employ 7 million people out of this 9 million that were in industry when manufacturing was at its peak. Dick told me that this was a pretty clear indication that industry could take care of its own, and that things were getting better.
Well?
Now, does this sound like the viewpoint of a man who left home because he was discouraged with the state of the nation?
Maybe not. But sometimes I'm not so sold on the ability of business and businessmen to pull this country out of the hole.
If they don't, I don't know who will. After all, the people know that business keeps its promises. Why, it has to, in order to gain the confidence of the public and sell its goods. So, what I say is, give industry and business a chance to see what they can do.
Well, I guess you're right. But I still think Dickie must have been discouraged about something.
Well, if that's why Dick has gone away. But I don't think it is the reason. He'll learn that running away from discouragement doesn't help.
Well, I suppose he'll learn a lot. But that doesn't bring him back to me. And I want him back, Mother. I want him back right now. Mother, could that be...
Hi-ho! Hi-ho, everybody!
Oh, for
Windy Bill. Now, don't let him see you've been crying. We don't want him to know anything about this.
He would come in at a time like this.
Well, where's all the greetings? Why am I met with nothing but a wall of silence? Why, Betty, my child, what is this? The quivering lip, the tear-dimmed eye? You've been crying.
I have not been crying. I just got something in my eye, that's all.
Come now. I know the signs. Someone has brought grief down upon that golden head, and he shall suffer for it, I promise you that. Come on now. Tell your Uncle Bill what's happened. I'll make him pay, whoever it was.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Uncle Windy, it isn't anything.
Leave her alone, Bill. It's none of your affair.
I must say. It's a fine thing when a man comes home from a busy day to find his only sister and his most favorite niece turning a cold shoulder on him.
Oh.
Haven't I the right to share your joys and sorrows? I ask you, who has a better right? Am I one of the family or am I not? It's not very cheery to be treated.
Oh, do be quiet. What's this about a busy day? That's something new for you, isn't it? It's too much to expect that you've been busy working.
You can hardly expect me to be quiet and still answer your unjust insinuation.
All right, then. You needn't tell me. I dare say I'll find out soon enough. When you suddenly become busy, it usually means you're getting into trouble.
As a matter of fact, Myra, I've been engaged in the most harmless occupation in the world. Looking into my family tree.
What?
Genealogical research. Most constructive. Odd, it never occurred to me before to look into the ramifications of the noble line of Winkle.
I didn't know you were interested enough in your family to look them up, especially those members of it who've passed on and who are no longer in a position to offer you board and lodging.
Interested? Of course I'm interested. And I expect to turn up some amazing developments. Amazing. I expect in the course of time to establish a definite relationship between the Winkles and the Collinses.
The Collinses? What Collinses? Uncle Windy, you don't mean it.
I mean, I'm convinced that your husband, Dick, and I are connected.
What?
It must be so. Not closely connected, you understand, but connected.
You must be mistaken, Uncle Windy. That'd be too much. To have you related to both Dick and me, nothing could be worse for Dick than to have you for an in-law and a relation both.
Well, why can't it be? Now, if you're just trying to discourage me, I call it most unkind of you. After all the work I've done, you can just save yourself the trouble. I cannot. I will not fail. I'm going to be related to Dick Collins if I have to go clear back to Adam. And you can't stop me.
Well, I'm not stopping you. But why do you want to be related to Dick?
Oh, William Winkle, you're up to something. What is it? Are you planning to impose on Dick now on the ground that you both descended from Adam?
Impose? Impose? Well, I shan't have to impose on anybody. I'll be, why should I impose?
Stop beating around the bush. Why do you want to be related to Dick?
Because I like him. He's a fine fella. I'd be proud to be his kinfolks. Where is the dear lad, Betty? I stopped by the Herald, but he wasn't there.
I don't know where he is.
Don't know? Well, why don't you know? You're his wife, aren't you? It's a funny thing if a wife don't know where...
I don't know, I tell you. Leave me alone.
Now, you see what you've done. You've started her again.
Started her? I haven't done anything.
Oh, don't talk about Dick. He's gone, and Betty doesn't...
Gone? Gone where? To Chicago?
Well, I don't know. He didn't... Bill Winkle, why did you say Chicago? Do you know anything about this?
Of course not. I thought he might have gone to Chicago. Well. Well, that's just great.
What's great about it? He didn't even say goodbye.
That's too bad, Betty. But never mind. Everything's going to be all right. You just wait and see. What'd I tell you? That's probably a message from him now. I'll go.
No. If it's a message, I want to be the first
to... No, you can't go to the door. You've been crying. What would people think?
So Windy thinks he's gone to Chicago, and he's trying to prove himself a relative of Dick.
I knew it. A telegram. You don't mind if I open it. It's really for you, Betty,
but... Give it to me, then. The telegram.
What does it say? Quick.
Darling, so sorry couldn't stop for goodbye. Having fine time. Wish you were here. And it's from Chicago.
And Betty is no wiser than she was before. What is happening to Dick in Chicago? Will Windy manage to horn in on Dick's claim to a fortune and a title? Join us on our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.